Happy Pride from Tomboy X, celebrating Pride and the queer community all year. Queer founded, queer run, and the makers of the original boxer briefs for women, creating sustainable size and gender inclusive underwear, swimwear, and loungewear for all bodies so you feel comfortable in your own skin. Tomboy X just dropped their Pride 24 collection, obsessively fit tested for all day comfort in sizes 3 extra small through 6X. Visit tomboyx.com.
A new season of Bridgerton is here. And with it, a new season of Bridgerton, the official podcast. I'm your host, Gabby Collins. And this season, we are bringing fans even deeper into the ton. Watch season 3 of the Shondaland series on Netflix. Then fall in love all over again by listening to Bridgerton, the official podcast on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts. Subscribe to catch a new episode every Thursday.
Bean Dad, The Dress, 30 to 50 Feral Hogs. If you knew what any of those were, you spend too much time online. And hey, I do too. 16th Minute of Fame is a new weekly podcast hosted by me, Jamie Loftus. And every week we take a closer look at an internet character of the day. Who are they? What made them so notorious? How did the internet or the algorithm choose them? And what does a person do when they're suddenly confronted with more attention than the human psyche can handle? Listen to 16th Minute of Fame on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.
On the Bechdel cast, the questions asked if movies have women in them. Are all their discussions just boyfriends and husbands, or do they have individualism? The patriarchy's effing vast. Start changing it with the Bechdel cast.
Hi, and welcome to the Bechdel cast. My name is Jamie Loftus.
And I'm Caitlin Durante.
And this is our podcast about the representation of women in famous movies.
Wow.
Here we are for episode, what is it?
1 million.
It is crazy to me. This show has been happening for 3 years, and we're still like not even remotely through influential movies.
There's so many left.
I'm surprised it took us this long to get to this one today. I think this is the first time that we're covering a Cameron Crowe joint.
I would say mercifully.
We held out as long as humanly possible, but
sure,
it's time to take a long, hard look at the scourge of Crowe.
Yeah, because he's got Jerry Maguire.
Yeah,
what else?
I haven't seen it. Almost Ugh. Famous.
Yeah.
Boring.
Right?
Aloha, offensive.
Mm-hmm.
Elizabethtown, not offensive in the same way as Aloha, but like offensively boring.
Oh, sure. And we've got the manic pixie.
We've got, yeah,
thing.
Origins.
Uh-huh.
Anyways, the Bechdel cast is a feminist movie podcast. We use the Bechdel test, sometimes called the Bechdel-Wallace test, as a jumping off point for a discussion, which is a media metric invented by cartoonist Alison Bechdel that requires that a movie have two female identifying characters with names that talk to each other about something other than a man. Can Cameron Crowe do it? I don't think he has ever done it.
We'll find out. Probably not.
I don't think he's ever done it. Ugh, you know, I think that Cameron Crowe, I really like watching, we're doing Fast Times at Ridgemont High today.
Yeah.
I really didn't realize the amount that I find Cameron Crowe's work to be annoying.
Yeah.
His capacity for annoying me in different ways knows no bounds.
Sure.
Let's talk about it. We have two guests today.
We do. We do indeed.
We mustn't delay.
They are comedians and hosts of Mall Talk podcast.
One of my faves.
Paige Weldon and Emily Faye.
Hi.
Hello.
Welcome.
Thank you for having us.
Hey, anytime.
I am realizing right now I'm really bad at knowing who made a movie, who the director is. And I feel like I didn't realize that Cameron Crowe did all those other movies.
Oh, sure.
I was like, whoa, what a career.
What a legacy. The legacy that Cameron Crowe leaves is immeasurable.
It truly is. And we'll talk about this. But so Cameron Crowe wrote the screenplay and then also wrote the book that this is adapted from. Amy Heckerling directed the film, and we'll talk.
Great. Mm-hmm. I found out that Amy Heckerling was my age when she directed this movie, and it made me feel like shit. Made me feel bad.
Yeah.
But good for her.
Good for her.
But made me feel like shit.
Sure.
Yeah.
So let's talk about your relationship and history with the movie. Paige, we'll start with you.
I had never seen it before. I have seen Almost Famous. I have seen Aloha.
You were one of the 14 people that saw Aloha?
You know, I saw it as a goof at that $2 theater in Highland Park. And it was so, it was like bad in ways I had not expected. It was like I was confused during it. I like didn't know what was happening. I had never seen Fast Times at Ridgemont High. I feel like it is a classic that just I skipped for whatever reason. Mm-hmm. And Emily suggested it as a very like mall movie.
Sure. Mm-hmm.
And I watched it a couple weeks ago for the very first time.
Okay. Wow. Also, Emily, that brings us to you.
Yes, yeah. It is a very mall movie.
I saw it when I was like younger. I think probably like twice. Like once when I was like younger, once as like a teenager. I could be absolutely wrong about this, but I could be mixing it up with something else. I have the memory that maybe my mom recommended I watch it.
Ooh,
potentially is like a like maybe remembered it as like one of those like classic 80s movies,
right?
And not, you know, but I could also be wrong on that, but I really liked it, and then I hadn't seen it in years, and I rewatched it last night. Mm-hmm. And I had remembered so little about it.
It's a wild watch.
Yeah.
It's okay. Caitlin, I had seen it
at least one, I think once before, probably in college, because I was like, oh, this, you know, this is one of those iconic movies that, you know, I have to see. Didn't remember a single thing from it except for like Jeff Spicoli being like a stoner surfer dude. Like that was the one thing. The one aspect of it that I remembered, and nothing else at all registered in my memory. So when I watched it again a couple of days ago, I was just like, oh, wait, Jennifer Jason Leigh is in this? Judge Reinhold is in this?
Like, Judge Reinhold is extremely in this.
He couldn't be more in this. And yeah, didn't remember like what the story was.
I didn't know Forest Whitaker was in this movie.
Right? Yeah. Nick Cage, who is credited as Nicholas Coppola.
Before he was like, oh wait, nepotism may be a bad look for me.
Right.
Cage it is.
Oopsie.
Yeah. Uh-huh. So yeah, I don't have a long history with this at all, but there it is.
I hadn't seen it either. I just don't, if you've been listening to the show for a while, I just don't like most movies released in the 1980s. It's a time and culture that I find very weird.
Oh, it's and pretty toxic.
And annoying. That and like the early 2000s are like two times that you're just like, oh yeah, there's a very Republican presidency going on right now. Mm. So, you know, I hadn't seen it.
Yeah.
Now I can't say that anymore. And that's my history with the movie.
True.
I did wish I had seen it when I was younger because I felt like I kept watching it and being like, honey, no. Don't.
I mean, yeah, I want to say up top, I do like this movie. I think it's a good movie. And I don't like most 80s movies. I don't like John Hughes movies.
Ooh,
but this one feels different in a way that I think it, I kind of think it holds up, honestly.
I think there's parts of it that
some parts
definitely did.
Do.
Yeah.
And then others really don't. And we'll talk all about them. But I mean, if you're comparing this movie to other like comparable mainstream 80s teen comedies, I would say the most notable of those are things like Revenge of the Nerds, 16 Candles, Breakfast Club, Porky's, like are so flagrantly problematic and toxic and horrible that Fast Times at Ridgemont High does feel a little bit more progressive, but there are still,
it felt like realer, which makes sense because it's like based on Cameron, like the backstory is that Cameron Crowe went
undercover.
That was just like very questionable.
Never Been Kissed is actually based on his experiences going on high school.
Cameron Crowe's a weird man. He's a weird man. But I guess he was young enough. He was like in his early 20s and he went to high school and he wrote about the, I think it was in Santa something.
It's San Diego, Claremont, right? San Diego.
Okay, San Diego.
Claremont High in San Diego. He went undercover with like, in participation with the school's administration. Like they know, they knew what was happening. He went undercover originally with the intention of writing like a nonfiction book, but then he turned it into a novel as he was never been kissing in San Diego. And then that book was published in 81, and then the film adaptation came out in 82.
Yeah, well, because it was, like, bought as a movie before the book even, like, came out. Cameron Crowe was a hot property at this time, because he was, like, he started writing for Rolling Stone when he was 16, and that's what Almost Famous is about. Uh-huh. And there's, I don't know, he was, like, a little young writer prodigy that everyone was really excited about, and then Elizabeth Town came out. And that's just sort of the story of his life.
I forgot to say I hate Elizabeth Town.
Oh, my God.
But I really loved Almost Famous growing up. And now the way you guys are talking about it, I'm like, I don't know.
I haven't seen it in years, but I really liked it.
I think most people do. I just find it, I'm like, who cares?
I really liked it. And then I don't know what changed in me. But I don't know. I don't like it now. I also didn't know Cameron Crowe also wrote and directed Say Anything, which I have not seen.
Uh-huh. Oh, that's when we must cover it.
I know.
Point.
That's like on the must. Where isn't he? But there, I do like it. It feels like this movie is like written. It feels more authentic than other 80s high school movies, which like, yeah, because it's based on at least some kernels of stuff that he witnessed.
Yeah.
So a lot of it was like, I don't know. I mean, there's a lot going on. Should we talk about it?
Yeah, let's dive into the recap.
All right.
So we meet some teens who have jobs at the Ridgemont Mall.
Oh, I should also say, I think part of the other reason I watched it the first time when I was younger is because the exterior of the mall is my childhood mall.
No way!
That's not the interior, but the exterior shots are the Santa Monica place.
No way!
That was big to me.
Okay.
Having your mall featured in a prominent movie is a moment. I'm thrilled for you. That's really exciting.
It is so weird how many movies they shoot. The exterior mall is different from the interior mall.
Mm-hmm. Now, are any of the malls, the Glendale Galleria, our favorite mall on the Bechdel cast, of course?
The Americana.
Well, okay. The Americana is a pretentious, elitist shithole.
It's outside.
And,
The Dunkin' Donuts is, I mean, you're the
Yeah, we
mall
like
experts.
Both. We think we're fully in favor of both. They are a beautiful partnership, a symbiotic relationship.
One of the many things I love about Mall Talk is they don't choose between the American and the Galleria.
They're one.
We don't compare beautiful women. We beautiful, powerful women don't need to be compared.
They're neighbors and sisters.
See, I'm a diehard Glendale Galleria stan.
They have a Dunkin' Donuts, and we can't take that away.
That's true. Anyway, so the mall is where they work, and we meet Mark Ratner, a.k.a. Rat. He works at the movie theater. His pal, Mike Damone, scalps concert tickets for a living. across the way, Stacy, that's Jennifer Jason Leigh, and her friend Linda, Phoebe Cates, work at a pizza place. We see Stacy gets hit on by an older guy. She tells him that she is 19. We find out that she's actually 15. He's 26. They exchange numbers.
Oh, no.
Uh-oh.
That was a honey no moment.
Yeah. we meet Brad, Judge Reinhold's character. He works at a burger joint. And then we meet Jeff Spicoli, Sean Penn, of course, and he is a stoner surfer dude who just kind of hangs around, and he seems to not wear a shirt very often.
Classic San Diego.
Right. And then we cut to Ridgemont High, where there are fast times. Brad seems kind of like a big man on campus. He's got a cool car. Spicoli is stoned and he's late to U.S. history class with Mr. Hand, who gives him a hard time. Then we cut to lunch.
Mr. Hand or Mr. Ham?
I think Hand.
Wow. Really? Yeah. The cracks are starting to show.
I wonder if his name, that character, like the real person, it has a name that like is similar or something,
like
and he
Mr.
just
Foot.
Changed it. Yeah. Like he just was lazy about changing it to something.
Could be. Then we see Stacy and Linda at lunch. They're talking about sex. Linda is more sexually experienced than Stacy.
She's also a senior.
Stacy
is an incoming freshman. Linda's a senior. I believe Mike is a senior, whereas Mark Ratner is also a freshman.
Yeah.
Right. And I do like the, like, when a 2-year age difference feels like gigantic, yeah. And like seeing that is always
I love fun. The Phoebe Cates character because it's so she's so absurd. It's like she's yes, she seems more experienced, sure, but she's like that is such a real person who's just like lying about yeah, all their like oh totally I know how to yeah, get a really good blowjob.
Yeah, yeah, yeah. Mm-hmm. I definitely have a fiance, but he just lives somewhere else.
Yeah, yeah, yeah. So I know everything, and I'm going to teach you.
I was shocked that there was confirmation in story that her. I thought the twist was going to be that her boyfriend wasn't real. Because like she's, I feel like it's set up like he might not. She's right. Like, well, yeah, he's not around. He's older, blah, blah, blah. And then he sends her a letter at the end. I'm like, how old is he?
Well, that I feel like it's so clear that it's like this man that she thinks is like this thing to her, and he's like.
Yeah,
and she's just so dumb in her own way, like about it.
It's sadder than if he was. Yeah.
See, I think she wrote that letter as part of her ruse.
The ruse, I like it. She's a scammer.
She's a scam goddess.
I like. There's like those little moments too where she, like they're talking about like, oh, do you come every time you have sex? And she's like, yeah, I think.
Yeah.
Like, oh, you're 17. Like. Uh-huh.
Oh, it's yes. Okay, so then, meanwhile, Rat is developing a crush on Stacy. They have biology class together. But Stacy goes on a date with that 26-year-old guy. They have sex, a.k.a. a statutory rape happens.
Then, which is, like, very much written, like, kind of 80s style dodge where he's like, You're actually 19, right? And she's like, uh-huh. And we're like, oh, no.
I have questions about that part, too, which is if he's 26, why doesn't he have a home they can go to? Where is that environment?
That is a great point.
That they have sex in.
I was so overwhelmed by the rape that I didn't even. I was like, oh, yeah, he doesn't live.
So like, and like, what is that space?
Maybe he's like married or something.
Where, God. Maybe. Yeah, that entire, I mean, that's like one of the worst, like,
right. Because they go to like a baseball dugout. Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
And
it's a wild, like, that's in the pretty much the beginning of the movie.
Yeah.
Yeah.
So it's very, very jarring.
Yeah.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah.
And the movie doesn't seem to think that much of it. It's like one of those very weird, like, culturally dissonant, like, oh, this was not a big deal,
right?
Yeah. Like, it happens.
Yeah, you know? Yikes. Yeah. He sends her flowers after this, but then he never calls her again. She never hears from him after that. Meanwhile, we get this reveal that Stacy and Brad are brother and sister. Oh my goodness. Yeah. Brad, he's having a tough time. He gets fired from his job, and then his girlfriend, who he was intending to break up with, breaks up with him first, citing the exact same reason that he was going to use. Mm. Then Rat asks Stacy out, and they go out to dinner. She takes him back to her house. They start kissing, and she tries to take things a little further, but he is visibly not comfortable with going any further, so he makes an excuse and leaves.
He's not like the other boys.
He's not.
He's nice. Yeah. Whoa.
A nice boy.
Nice boy named Rat.
Yeah, I want to talk about him in a little bit. Yeah. And then we see Spicoli's getting in trouble at school. He's dreaming about being a surf champion. He's driving Forrest Whitaker's car around. And
he's like the big football star at school. And his car is a big deal to
him. His car's a big deal, but Spicoli crashes it. And in order to like make it so he doesn't get in trouble, he makes it seem like the rival school that they're about to have a big football game with like messed up Forrest Whitaker's car right before the big game. Meanwhile, Stacy isn't sure if Rat likes her, but then he and his friend Mike come over for a swim. Linda is also there. Judge Reinhold jerks off to her in the bathroom. We'll talk about that whole
scene.
And
I feel like the scene that people remember from this movie.
Probably,
I've seen that scene before, and I didn't even know what this movie was
about.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Meanwhile, Stacy starts to develop a crush on Mike. He comes over to her place. They start kissing. They have sex. And then he comes really fast and then very abruptly leaves. Then later at school, he blows Stacy off. And then sometime later after that, she tells him that she is pregnant. she has already arranged to have an abortion, but she wants him to pay for half of it and give her a ride to the clinic, which he agrees to. But then when the day actually rolls around, he is nowhere to be found. So instead, she gets a ride from her brother Brad. She's like, drop me off at the bowling alley. I'm going bowling. But then he sees her like run across the street to the clinic. So he picks her up from the clinic and he agrees to keep her secret.
He's like, you don't bowl.
Yeah.
Like that was his rationale behind calling her bluff.
Right. And then Linda finds out what a shithead Mike was to Stacy. So she sticks up for her friend, takes revenge on him by spray painting prick on his car and his locker. And then Rat confronts Mike about being shitty and like getting with Stacy behind his back. Then the kids go to prom.
I mean, you gotta.
You gotta.
You gotta. It's a movie about teens. We're going to prom.
Uh-huh.
Caitlin like hates prom scenes.
I do hate prom scenes, but I like that this one wasn't made that big of a deal of. Mm-mm. It wasn't like
just
everyone's like,
yeah.
We're all gearing up for prom. Yeah, it's just, you know, slice of life moment in their lives.
Just some teens dancing.
Yeah.
Nothing wrong with that.
Just a place for everyone to be.
Yeah. True. And then Mike and Stacy reconnect at the mall. There's a scene at the end when Brad is working at a convenience store where he stops a robbery.
So it's Rat and Stacy reconnect at the mall.
Oh, what did I say? Oh, yeah, sorry. So Rat and Stacy reconnect, and then the scene with the robbery. Spicoli, like, distracts the robber, and then Brad saves the day. And...
Which is a very... I had to, like, double-check to be like, did the movie just end?
That was... Yeah.
But that's where it ends.
That's where it ends. We get all these, like, the title cards of, like, and then here's what they got up to after this.
Yeah. Big 80s movie thing.
Yeah.
I kind of appreciate it. I want to know what happens to all of them.
I thought it was fun.
I want to know the day they die.
Oh my God. But yeah, that's the story. Let's take a quick break and then we'll come right back for the discussion.
Happy Pride from Tomboy X. We just dropped our Pride 24 collection. Queer founded, queer run, and creating size and gender inclusive underwear, swimwear, and loungewear for all bodies. So you feel comfortable in your own skin. Visit TomboyX.com to shop.
Bean Dad, The Dress, 30 to 50 Feral Hogs. If you knew what any of those were, you spend too much time online. And hey, I do too. 16th Minute of Fame is a new weekly podcast hosted by me, Jamie Loftus, where every week I take a closer look at an internet character of the day. Who were they? What made them so notorious? Why did the internet choose them? And what does a person do when they're suddenly confronted with more attention than the human psyche can handle? I'll be talking to internet historians, experts, and yes, the main characters themselves to get a fuller picture. Because I think that even outside individual experiences, a character of the day tells us something about how the internet worked at that time and how the attention economy developed into the freaky three-headed dragon it is today. Together, we probably won't be able to properly log out, but we can take a walk down scary internet memory lane and see one day a little more clearly. Listen to 16th Minute of Fame on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.
A new season of Bridgerton is here. And with it, a new season of Bridgerton, the official podcast. I'm your host, Gabrielle Collins, and this season, we are bringing fans even deeper into the ton. Colin Bridgerton has returned from his travels abroad. Is betrothal written in the stars for the eligible bachelor? Meanwhile, the ton is reverberating with speculation of who holds Lady Whistledown's pen. We're discussing it all. I sit down with Nicola Coughlin, Luke Newton, Shonda Rhimes, and more to offer an exclusive peek behind the scenes of each episode of the new season. Watch season 3 of the Shondaland series on Netflix. Then, fall in love all over again by listening to Bridgerton, the official podcast, on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts. Subscribe to catch a new episode every Thursday.
And we're back. Oh, thank God.
I know.
I miss being on.
Couldn't wait another second.
So, where to start?
Well, something great.
Yes.
Is that this was Amy Heckerling's directorial debut, as mm-hmm. you were saying. For those that are not Heckerling heads, She goes on to direct most notably Clueless, but also Look Who's Talking, if you're a Look Who's Talking head.
Which I am.
Which you are. Have you seen it?
I loved those movies as kids. Is it
the
kid?
The Babies Talk?
Honestly barely remember. I think there's both movies open. Maybe there's even a third one. Who remembers? But there's a lot of
three
sperm.
Of them.
Oh yeah, there's
Look
a third
Who's
one.
Talking Two and Look Who's Talking Now.
Now,
Look Who's Talking Two spelled T-O-O or?
Oh yeah.
Okay, T-O-O. Great. Just checking, just confirming.
I think like Bruce Willis voices one of the babies. There's always an opening sequence of a bunch of sperms swimming to fertilize an egg.
Perfect.
And then
movies should begin.
They should all begin that way.
Because that's how every story starts, you know, ultimately.
True. I used to love those movies when I was a kid, but I could not tell you a single thing about what they're about.
My favorite new detail about you is that you've seen every Look Who's Talking movie.
Yes.
So Clueless and Look Who's Talking and a National Lampoon movie.
Right.
So she's like a legendary director. This was her first feature that she directed. Mm-hmm. So that's great.
Yeah.
We very rarely get to cover movies that are directed by women at all, especially comedies.
Especially comedies. Yes. I was surprised, I guess not surprised, because we live in a world where everything's horrible.
Kidding, but do we live in a society?
Is
that what you're trying to
society.
Suggest?
Society.
I don't understand.
Society.
Unpack that.
I suppose would have maybe expected a movie directed by a woman to not fall into some of the trappings that we see happen in movies that are directed by men. Most notably, the male gaze dream sequence that Judge Reinhold has, where he is masturbating to a topless Phoebe Cates.
That was, I want to spring to Amy Heckerling's defense a little bit here by just, you know, she's 27 when she directed this movie. It was her first gig ever. I don't think she was really in a position to be pushing back a lot.
Yeah.
And she like goes on, I think, to kind of course correct on stuff like that in movies like Clueless.
Yeah.
But yeah, no, I totally see what you mean. That scene is so weird. Okay, so it's the iconic masturbation scene. I didn't realize that scene was a fantasy that doesn't happen in the, because it was like when we meet Linda's character, I'm like, she doesn't seem like she would just do that.
Yeah.
Because she doesn't.
Right. Yeah.
But it's the only scene that anyone like can recall top of head from this movie. And it's so, I feel like it's one of those situations where, I'm not going to like phrase this correctly, but like, where the writing and the like cinematography, it's like a little bit dissonant, where it's because it's like Linda's character isn't like that, but then the visuals go way out of their way to give you this big nipple moment.
That was just what movies were like. You just did get to see everyone's boobs,
I kind of feel like I don't know, and ultimately all the men are made fools of.
That is
right.
That's the thing.
It's not like, oh my god, this like out of nowhere fantasy where he gets to fuck her. It's like he's jacking off in the bathroom, she walks in on him and it's like, oh my god, and he's embarrassed. I kind of don't think it's like, I don't know.
I think in context, like in the context of the movie, I don't have a problem with it. It's just like it is like one of those things where it's like, oh, and that's the scene that like stands the test of time.
Right. I think because that was for a lot of young boys who watched it, they did jack off to that, therefore it was what they remember.
It is weird that like I had never seen the movie, but I knew that scene.
Yeah.
There's so many like better scenes.
Actually happened.
Right. Yeah. And then the fact that fantasy, which is like very clearly framed as like a dream fantasy sequence, is juxtaposed against what's actually happening, where she's like getting out of the pool in a
very
neutral, non-sexy way.
Like cold.
And she's like, there's water in my ears. And so I'm like, okay, I appreciated that. So she's not like, her character by the Judge Reinhold character is like made like a sexy meal of by just like his horny teen brain.
And also they are the same age, which is good because she's a senior too, you know. It's not like his like little sister's like best freshman friend. It's like they're both 17.
Yeah, yeah. I don't even know how to, like, I guess, articulate exactly why it's like, to me, because it's like in the story it makes sense, mm-hmm. but something about it is just, I don't know.
I mean, just the choice to include it all in the way that it is included, the way that it's framed.
It's a very 80s decision.
Mm-hmm. Yes.
And also just like the way female nudity is treated in this movie is so of its time of yeah. like, you see a lot of female nudity and I mean, you see, you know, Sean Penn shirtless, but it's not that, like, I feel like that's just sort of starting to happen, like, now-ish in, like, shows like Euphoria, where it's, like, in shows about teen sexuality, you never see male nudity, really, at all.
Yeah.
And it's this, like, taboo thing still, where, like, in this movie, you see, like, both female lead characters almost fully nude.
Yeah.
One you see fully nude and Jennifer Jason Leigh, and then you see Phoebe Cates almost nude.
Right.
And with the men, it's like that's just not an expectation that people had of this genre.
I was actually thinking of Euphoria while I was watching this and how
well,
just in the sense where I was like, there is like a fair amount of like boobs, but like Euphoria is like, if we're talking like worse,
Euphoria has dicks.
But dicks. But also when they show boobs, it's like in a doggy style, like, you know, whatever. Yeah. It's more gazy, whereas this, I feel like, I don't know.
Like, this is almost just like a result of the time that's just like, yeah. So we'll have the part in the movie where we show the main character's boobs.
Like, I kind of feel like the Jennifer Jason Leigh, like when her boobs are out, it's like barely sexual. I don't know.
She's having sex.
She is, but there's some, I don't know.
The way
I was thinking about this show that was made literally this year that is also supposed to be teens having sex is like so sexual.
I guess what I like about Euphoria, because I don't like, I mean, there's, I whatever, the show's fine, but like the, at least it's like equal opportunity nudity,
yeah.
where it's just like, this is like 1982. Like, it also, I feel like, kind of speaks to like who they're making the movie for. You know, it's just like catering to male gaze stuff, and like the female gaze or the straight female gaze or whatever is like not really, like, you get Sean Penn's abs a couple times, but other than that, it's
right.
Like the women are way more sexualized.
Is Sean Penn's character, are we supposed to think he's like a hot guy?
I don't know that question.
Too.
I don't think so.
Because here, you see him, he's like the surfer dude, and he has like the hot babes at the beach, and I'm like,
well, that's another another fantasy.
Supposed to believe
that's like
about
his fantasy.
Him? Yeah, I don't think so. Okay,
that's a relief.
Yeah.
Yeah.
No.
Do you
that's a question I have.
I kind of do. You think any of the guys in it are actually supposed to be like someone that we're supposed to think of as hunky?
I don't know.
Because Brad is always just kind of like keeps being put in this position where he just keeps like kind of being a loser.
Yeah.
And well, then
at
like,
the beginning, I think he's supposed
right,
to be cool.
And then it and immediately then it starts apart. Going downhill. And then like Mike Damone is such a cartoonish sleazeball.
Oh, God. Yeah.
And then Mark Ratner is just such a like sweet like nerd.
Yeah, I mean, I guess one thing I do like about this movie is, and talking about how it feels realistic to being a teenager, is things like the fact that losing your cool job just completely ruins your
derails.
Life and status.
Yeah.
Like, little tiny things just, like, ruin you.
When in the beginning he's going to break up with his girlfriend, he's like, I'm a successful guy.
Yeah.
And he's like, he cooks the burgers at a fast food joint. It's but he's like I have a job.
Yeah. Going back to the sex scene, especially, okay, so the first one that we see between Stacy and that 26-year-old guy. So, okay. it is a statutory rape. She is underage. The movie excuses it by, like, him thinking that she is of age.
He doesn't think that she's of age.
But he like barely tries to find out.
Do you think
and
the
has,
movie excuses it? Because at the end of the day, it's like he's clearly painted as like a bad dude.
A bad guy.
Know? I don't
Who does suspect that she is too young.
Right.
Because he keeps
awful.
Asking about it.
I don't know that I would say it excuses it.
But I don't know. The movie doesn't treat it like that's what that is. And then also another huge issue I have with this is that we're seeing her nudity while the actor, while Jennifer Jason Leigh was 20 at the time of filming, or at least at the time of the release, her character is supposed to be 15.
Yeah.
And I mean, call me a Puritan, but I have a huge problem with showing nudity of characters who are supposed to be underage.
That's the same thing with Euphoria, though.
Which, I mean, and I haven't seen that show,
every sexy teen show that's ever been.
Yeah.
My issue isn't with that, as long as it's like adult actors. Like, that's just kind of like the name of the high school. I mean, and it's like, I do think that like teenagers, it like can just like benefit from, I don't know, like seeing teen sex shows when I was a teenager, like some of it fucked me up and other times it was helpful and good.
Yeah. I just don't think there needs to ever be like characters who are supposed to be teenagers. We don't need to see them naked ever.
But, I mean, fair, I guess. I don't know.
It's fair, but then if we're talking about that with that movie, it's also the whole larger cultural movement where sexy teen shows and stuff are like one of the hugest genres.
Right.
Regardless, that scene definitely made me very uncomfortable.
Yeah, totally. Yes.
Yeah.
Like that scene, I don't know. I do think the movie kind of gives them a pass. In general, I think that like, I don't know, cutting out like teen sex stuff in general just kind of like limits the kind of stories that you can tell.
I mean, it could be implied that they have sex, or it can be shot in such a way where it's clear that they're having sex.
Sure.
Maybe, but to show nudity, to show like what's supposed to be 15-year-old breasts, is like, no, thank you.
I don't think we need that. Like, most sexy teen shows are on the CW and they don't show actual breasts.
Yeah. Right.
But I'm just bringing in the Euphoria thing again. It's like, it is the same thing as this thing that is happening in 2019, but even more so. And most things over the years have not showed nudity, and that has been fine. Like, that's why we have 90210 and the OC.
Right,
and like,
right,
those totally are full of sex and not a tit to be seen, and that's right, totally fine.
I feel like I'm like talking about whether or not the movie like dismisses it. I feel like, and I don't know if it's just a result of me watching this when I'm older, but I feel like there was this undercurrent of like the issue of not getting information about sex and sex ed, mm-hmm, and like having parents around to like tell you anything, and mm-hmm, she purely relies on her friend who's full of shit to tell her what she should be doing
and
in terms of
dating. And
the
friend is kind of the one who encourages it too, and it's like she's wrong.
Yeah, right. It almost feels like she had that experience from like another older friend telling her this is what she should do, mm-hmm, and I feel like that was an interesting and kind of real thing to me of like, oh, you just like don't know what's going on and you just trust someone who's cool to you or whatever. Right.
That's kind of, I think, the whole realism of it is, I think that in this movie, it's like Stacy is 15. She's basically pressured by this friend who keeps going like, I was 13. What's the problem? You gotta have sex. Mm-hmm. She's basically pressured by this friend into having these bad experiences, which like older men taking advantage of younger girls figuring stuff out is a tale as old as humankind.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
And that happens, but it doesn't like ruin her. And I think that's what's kind of like revolutionary about this movie at the time. Yeah. Like, she has this experience, the statutory rape experience. She like has sex with this guy who's like a shithole and like has like an abortion. And then like, mm-hmm, at the end of the day, I know that it's kind of regressive to not like, you know, that it does not acknowledge any psychological effects of those things, mm-hmm, but also that it doesn't judge her or anything. Yeah. Like at the end, she's like, I don't care about sex. I want to have romance. Mm-hmm. And she gets with this guy. Now she has like a nice like 15-year-old boyfriend and is like moving on.
Mm-hmm. An age appropriate boyfriend named Rat. I think that there's like a lot of things with Stacy's character that is done in like a way that it feels grounded and right. It just like the statutory rape, showing it is, I'd feel like, was not
we didn't
necessary.
Need it. Yeah.
Yeah. Did not need to see it. And just the, I don't know, like for a movie that's made for teens, I feel like you have to like at least make some effort to be a little explicit about like that was not okay. Because I feel like they kind of skirt it, but it's not. And it's like also very possible that like Stacy hadn't fully like processed it and there. Right. But it's just kind of like left there. And then just
you know what I kept thinking when I was watching this, because I knew it was like based on a book. It really had the feeling to me of when you watch a movie that's based on a book that you've read and you're like, they skipped the part. How do you understand? Like the first time I ever saw like a Harry Potter movie after reading the Harry Potter books where I was like, this is too fast. Where it almost felt like whenever they would like skip over like someone processing or having an emotional reaction, I was like, maybe it's in the book.
Right.
Probably not, but maybe.
I don't know. Feminist icon Cameron Crowe. We have to assume he addressed it. But yeah, that whole, I mean, story point in general is just like, I don't even know if it was like mishandled as much as it was just not handled
at
all. It was just kind of like left there in a kind of weird way.
Yeah.
But I think that's because the only people she has to talk to are like other teens who don't know that it's like a bad thing.
Like we never even see the parents.
You never see them, yeah.
Yeah, which I thought was kind of cool.
Yeah.
Sure.
I always like no parent movies.
Yeah. I feel like Jimmy Neutron. The 90s is when parents started being characters and stuff. Talking about those like teen shows again, the parents started being hot and also becoming characters with their own drama.
Yeah.
Like 90s, early 2000s, I feel like that started becoming a thing.
Horny parents.
Yeah.
I guess.
Always having affairs with other parents.
And then, I mean, okay, can we talk about that, the friendship between Linda and Stacey? We've like sort of started already.
Uh-huh.
But I don't know. I think it, like, again, it's like one of those very realistic friendships that will happen in high school where it's like 2 year age gap feels like a million years. And like I was thinking about this girl in high school I knew named Carissa that I would have like died for her. And I thought she was fucking genius and she was the queen of sex and I would have done anything she told me to. I made my dad like drive me to a Bright Eyes concert and then drive around the block for 3 hours while I went to the Bright Eyes concert so Carissa would see me there and think I was cool. I like would have done anything. And so I'm like, oh, this is very much like, you know, a girl 2 years older than you that who you would just do like anything for. Mm-hmm. And I like that even though Linda, like, and I don't think if I was a teenager watching this movie, I don't think I would have realized that she's full of shit. I think I probably would have just thought she was cool.
This was also the first time I put together that she was older.
Oh, okay.
I don't think when I was younger and watching it, I realized that.
Okay.
I don't know if I even realized that until you said it today.
I guess, because she talks about when she gets that letter and it's like, he says he's not coming to my graduation.
Right. Oh,
yeah. And then in the end thing, it's like, she's at Ridgemont College now living with her, like, her psych professor.
Professor, yeah.
You're like, oh, no. But, I mean, I like that their, like, friendship is... I mean, a lot of it's based on misinformation.
Yeah.
But like good things about it are they're like supportive of each other in their weird sex endeavors. Mm-hmm. I like when Linda like super jumps to her defense.
Yeah.
When she's going through the abortion thing, it's not anything where anyone passes judgment on her, including her brother, which I thought was really cool.
Oh, yeah.
That's like, I feel like that's a huge moment in this movie.
Yeah, that's worth just a whole other conversation that we can get to.
Yeah, but in general, like they have a friendship that's based on misinformation and like maybe like some failures of parenting.
And their job together.
And their job.
And pizza place. Perry's pizza.
I think my main thing was like I like their friendship. I just like wish that they like we knew stuff about them that wasn't just like all boys
relationships.
Stuff.
I also do like, I have mixed feelings about this because part of it's pretty problematic, but Linda has a pretty just kind of casual, cavalier attitude about sex where she's just like, hey, it's no big deal, like whatever. And like, I like to see that attitude on screen, not to say that everyone needs to have that, but we usually see like girls being like, sex is sacred and beautiful and I can only have it with my husband who I married.
Right. Like, and like male characters get to be promiscuous without consequence.
Yeah. Exactly. So to see a girl, and we talked about this I think a little bit on a bonus episode on American Pie, but the Natasha Lyonne character, has a pretty similar, just like casual, like sex is whatever, it's no big deal. Again, just something I appreciate seeing. Now, when Linda, part of her attitude is that, yeah, 15-year-old friend of mine, go have sex with this 26-year-old man.
My theory is that's Linda's a virgin. Okay. I think Linda's a virgin and she's absolutely full of shit.
I mean, like, they're all lying. Like, yeah, when, like, thing. Even
Stacey's Brad, the only one telling the truth.
No, she's not. Because they're... after that mic thing, when Linda's how long did it last? And she's like, 15 to 20 minutes. And then she's like, yeah, my boyfriend lasts like 20 to 30. And she's like, I thought you said 30 to 40. Oh, yeah.
Linda's a virgin. Oh,
yeah, but then also, like, Brad, right in the beginning, when he's talking to the other person at work, and he's like, yeah, and she's great in the sack. And then, like, he turns to her to talk, and she's like, I don't want to have sex with you.
Right. Yeah, everyone is. Yeah, I think that Linda probably is a virgin. I got very strong Mina Suvari in American Beauty vibes.
Oh, sure.
Fuck that movie. But like, like that character is all like, yeah, I'm so sexually experienced. And then we find out that she is, in fact, a virgin.
It is weird at the beginning of that movie. It's not about like, if it's right for her to have sex with the older guy, it's about how do we get him to agree to this? All you gotta do is tell him you're 19.
Right.
That's the believable age because it's not 18.
Right.
He'll totally believe you.
Which it's like, I never did that, but I never actually got to the point of having sex with someone because that would have been like scary. But I certainly, like, if a man was flirting with me at Starbucks and was like, where do you go to college? I'm 14. I'm like, I'm 19. I go to SMC.
Yeah. Right.
Which it's not like I'm actually going to entrap the, like, I'm not going to have sex with them, but it's like,
you're safe.
That's a thing. I don't know.
Even if it's not about trying to have sex, you do just want to appear older.
There is just a thing of it's like, okay, I'm gonna go with this. Yeah. I'm gonna run with this.
I would go on like message boards pretend to be older and just talk to someone for 15 minutes and then get scared and delete the account.
It is a relatable experience.
Yeah.
Let's take another quick break and we'll come right back.
Happy Pride from Tomboy X. We just dropped our Pride 24 collection. Queer founded, queer run, and creating size and gender inclusive underwear, swimwear, and loungewear for all bodies. So you feel comfortable in your own skin. Visit TomboyX.com to shop.
Bean Dad, The Dress, 30 to 50 Feral Hogs. If you knew what any of those were, you spend too much time online. And hey, I do too. 16th Minute of Fame is a new weekly podcast hosted by me, Jamie Loftus, where every week I take a closer look at an internet character of the day. Who were they? What made them so notorious? Why did the internet choose them? And what does a person do when they're suddenly confronted with more attention than the human psyche can handle? I'll be talking to internet historians, experts, and yes, the main characters themselves to get a fuller picture. Because I think that even outside individual experiences, a character of the day tells us something about how the internet worked at that time and how the attention economy developed into the freaky three-headed dragon it is today. Together, we probably won't be able to properly log out, but we can take a walk down scary internet memory lane and see one day a little more clearly. Listen to 16th Minute of Fame on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.
A new season of Bridgerton is here. And with it, a new season of Bridgerton, the official podcast. I'm your host, Gabrielle Collins, and this season, we are bringing fans even deeper into the ton. Colin Bridgerton has returned from his travels abroad. Is betrothal written in the stars for the eligible bachelor? Meanwhile, the ton is reverberating with speculation of who holds Lady Whistledown's pen. We're discussing it all. I sit down with Nicola Coughlin, Luke Newton, Shonda Rhimes, and more to offer an exclusive peek behind the scenes of each episode of the new season. Watch season 3 of the Shondaland series on Netflix. Then, fall in love all over again by listening to Bridgerton, the official podcast, on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts. Subscribe to catch a new episode every Thursday.
Okay, here we are back. Here we are again. Oh my gosh. Here we are.
Should we talk about the abortion that
takes place? Yes, we shall.
Emily was saying this earlier. I was like very impressed with how this movie handled it, especially Same. For like the 80s where like they're like John Hughes wouldn't have handled it this well. Like they're John Hughes doesn't who like handles nothing well kind right. of. I thought it was like sometimes in this movie I find it frustrating that they just present stuff and mm-hmm. sort of have no comment on it.
Right.
But for this like story point, I thought it was like really cool where like, you know, Stacy has sex with Mike. She gets pregnant. She goes.
She barely has sex with yeah, Mike. Yeah, she, yeah. Which is, that's, that, God, that scene is so upsetting.
Yeah.
So she like, Mike's inside her for 2 seconds. Yeah. And, but he's very fertile.
Which is another and beautiful, humiliating moment for a man or yes. for a boy in that yeah. movie. Yes.
Where all he, of them get humiliated.
Yeah. yeah. He like, presents yeah. himself like truly. Such a cool guy. And yeah. he comes immediately. It's so funny.
You're like, oh, he's a ticket scalper.
Oh, he's a huge loser.
But she, like, I liked how that scene played out where it starts by making a fool of Mike because he's like flirting with a girl who doesn't seem to be interested in him. And Stacy goes up to him and is like, I need to talk to you. And he's like, no, no. I'm about to bag this bitch. And she tells him that she's pregnant. He immediately gets angry and blames her yep. and says it was her idea. And she shuts it down right away. She's like, no.
And then he also says, how do you know it's mine? Implying like, oh, you're probably like sleeping around with a bunch of different guys. Might not be mine.
Right. She's like, it's definitely yours. Also, don't say it was my idea.
Right.
And
he does take it back.
He also but that sounds does not like redeem he's him. Just parroting something someone told him you're supposed to say in these situations.
The older Everyone ones just yeah seem like they got some bad advice from someone else yeah. older, and then they're giving this awful yeah. advice to these younger people.
And then she like he is like, oh well, there it seems like he's sort of like telling her what an abortion is, and she's yeah. like, no, I know what one is, and yeah. I'm going
she
to
already
get one.
Has it planned out.
Yeah, yeah like I, and then she's like, and I want you to pay for half. I was like, that was all pretty yeah, good.
Great. and then she has the abortion. We see her right afterwards. She seems And then, like, Emily, you kind of brought this up, but she seems, like, physically and emotionally fine. Because I think a lot of media would have you believe that, like, I mean, an abortion, depending on who's getting it, can be a very difficult, physically and emotionally taxing thing. But it seems like for Stacy, she bounced right back from it. It didn't, like, emotionally ruin her. She's not, like,
she just filled back with a paycheck.
Regret and remorse. Exactly, yeah. And then when her brother realizes what is happening and he picks her up from the clinic, he doesn't judge her. He doesn't slut shame her.
He doesn't tattle
like
on her. The biggest right. sin of all.
And then he's like, oh, are you hungry? Let's go get some food. Like, yeah. he treats her with respect.
It's, like, very sweet. Because it's, yeah. like, he drops her off, then, like, in his rearview mirror sees her run across the street from the bowling alley. Yeah. So he's just waiting outside the whole time.
Which is
And right. then right. she yeah. just it comes was... down and because like no one's there to pick her up.
Right.
And then she's just like, Brad.
Yeah.
Oh, right. don't tell mom and dad. Yeah. And then he's like, no, okay. I won't.
Well, the yeah. other thing that's weird about that is like it's sort of implied that Mike he tries to get the money.
Yeah.
He's
and
like,
couldn't.
And he couldn't. And that's why he didn't come.
Uh-huh.
Like, he would right. have given her a ride, but he couldn't get the money or something.
Right. Which is like, I don't know why they went. I mean, like, maybe that's another, like, very specific true thing that Cameron Crowe heard about at
yeah,
this.
Because right.
I was just like, I didn't know. Because I was like, why include that, but maybe that's yeah. just I don't know. Yeah,
but like
yeah.
He, Mike owes Stacy an apology
and $75
and $75
and yeah.
We never
$75 most of all.
Yeah. First, yeah, save the apology. I will take the $75 first.
But what I also like about this storyline is that when Rat finds out that Mike and Stacy had sex, he gets mad at Mike rather than Stacy.
Yeah.
He's yes. like,
yeah.
And then Rat still likes Stacy and yeah. like wants to reconnect with her. He doesn't act like she's like, you know, tainted or anything like that after right. having
yeah,
had sex with his
the
friend.
The biggest
and
thing
having...
it's like nothing is like, oh, she's ruined.
Right.
That's yeah. I yeah. think like
because a lot yeah. of guys, especially in 1982, yeah. would have that
totally.
Mentality.
Yeah. And but, a lot of like,
or even a moment of like that slut, and then maybe he comes back around. He never has that moment,
right?
No,
he's like, "How could you do this to me? You are my friend."
I like
to
Rat. Mike.
Yeah,
I
yeah.
like Rat.
Rat's okay in my book.
Rat's and it's
Rat's
like,
a good boy.
He's a good boy, and like
he's a classic movie. End up with this guy at the end of the movie, good boy.
But unlike most of the '80s guys, he doesn't. Super suck like right. we're because I feel like most 80s nerd characters there's been like a bajillion things written about how like in like the like proto incel entitled yeah. to women
he doesn't he's feel not. Entitled he's just shy around her because yeah. he likes yeah. her and, the, and then at the end when she like gives him that picture of her
oh my god that picture is really cute there I liked and I also liked seeing that like moment where I feel like you don't see in teen movies a lot where like a moment during sex where the boy gets uncomfortable mm-hmm, and nervous
for sure.
and like you don't really and like that's important to see too because that like definitely happens in yeah. real life mm-hmm. and you just don't really they're like men are supposed to be sexually aggressive and like they never want to not
right.
have sex
right. and I feel like in that scene where she's trying to have sex with him it's so obvious that that's just what she thinks she's supposed to be doing
yes. right.
and she had sex once so she thinks that this is who she is now
right
is this like vixen like right. just sexual
she's so bad at it
and it's so team. Right it's like clearly that's not who she is. He gets uncomfortable, but they're clearly both like
well, because they both want to date, but yeah. they've been told that dating different is something yes. different. By the way, there's another thing. Mike is a fascinating character to me because he's almost like a good friend. Like he brings him his wallet at the
yeah.
dinner. He like tries to help him out.
The
but
wallet
he just
thing
ultimately,
is cute.
he, but even when he does that, it's like a failure. Like he
right.
couldn't do it subtly at all.
Right. Right.
He like totally.
He gives him bad advice.
Yeah. He's just.
Oh, I have a list of the. Okay. So he gives. He says, here's five dating tips that he gives to Rat. And I've broken down each one. The first is never let on how much you like a girl, which means like be emotionally withholding.
yes.
Not okay. The second one is you always call the shots, which is like be domineering, I guess. And then the example he gives is kiss me, you won't regret it. So it's like coercion.
So cringy.
Third one is act like wherever you are, that's the place to be. So it's like, okay, emotionally manipulate the woman. The fourth one is find out what she wants and order it for the both of you. It's a classy move, which is what Cal Hockley does in Titanic.
I wrote that down too.
So it's like, you know, take away her agency and autonomy. And then the fifth one is just kind of stupid. When it comes down to making out, put on side one of Led Zeppelin 5. And it's like, okay.
Well, I think like, yeah,
it's very, this. It's the same thing that's happening on the other side.
Also, yeah. what's funny is that immediately we see that everybody hates Mike.
Yeah.
Like, even in the end when, like, Rat is confronting him, he's like, whenever anybody talks shit about you, I try to stand up for you.
Yeah.
And, like, when he's, like, always, he's always, like, with different popular guys being like, yeah, this guy's my buddy, like, whatever. And then the guy's just like, fuck off.
Right.
And it's clear that none of these tips work because everybody hates him.
I right. forget, what is Mike's, like, thing that happens to him at the, like,
oh,
what do they
he
say?
He works at, like, Rite Aid
7-Eleven.
Or something.
7-Eleven.
Okay. 7-Eleven. Yeah. Cool, oh, cool. He got busted for scalping yeah. and now works at 7-Eleven.
Okay, cool, cool, cool.
Yeah, and he's on the straight and narrow now. I mean, and you are kind of presented with these, like, two parallel, like Stacy and Rat are both, like, the younger, like, yeah. being mentored, and then you have the senior mentors. But, yeah, like, Mike is, like, bullshitting just as much as,
oh, yeah.
As Linda is, but on top of that has, like, this, like, projected fake machismo mm-hmm. that makes him infinitely worse.
Yeah. By the way, this is a total side note. Did you guys look up by any chance what the actor who played Rat did later?
No.
I did, but I didn't recognize anything.
Well, he wrote a couple of For Dummies books.
Oh, so not...
What?
Not the actor who plays Rat, but the real life person that Rat's character was based on is like a tech genius and like wrote a bunch of like computers for dummies.
Yes, thank you. I knew I remembered something about that.
Yeah. I forget his name. Hang on.
Not the actor. The actor. Who knows what he did?
He won a Tony in 1980. Good for him.
Good for him.
He was also
How to Win a Tony for Dummies.
He's 25 in that movie. That's what he looked like when he was 25 years old.
Wow.
Yeah.
12 when he was 25 years old. Good for him.
I remember when I got older and I realized that like all the people in teen things are
36
teens.
Years.
I was like, what? Oh, okay.
Why don't I look like that?
I'm still kind of jarred sometimes when it's like I have like a 14-year-old cousin and I'm like, oh yeah, that's what a 14-year-old looks like.
It's on Riverdale, they're supposed to be sophomores.
It's absurd. They're like 28 years old.
It's like, obviously this is what we have to do. We can't actually have teens in this situation.
Right, no one wants to see that.
They only do that on Degrassi.
Rat, he was based on Andy Rathbone, who I don't know who that is, but apparently he's rich and famous and is a computer genius.
Good friend.
So, yay.
It's just like such a wonderful end for like a high school nerd. Right? Yeah, I went on to be a tech genius.
Wow.
I have just a quick list of... So, you know, this movie comes out, it's like a, you know, a 1980s teen sex comedy, basically. So, you know, if you are comparing it to things, its contemporaries, things
it's
like...
It's also like, it has funny parts, but it's more of a drama.
Kind of not really a comedy,
like,
right?
Was it
has funny characters.
Right, and some good lines, but it's like, I would say more like a dramatic slice of life, kind of.
It's tonally pretty light, but also, I mean, yeah, there's some heavy stuff in it, like an abortion, things like that. But its contemporaries are things like, you know, again, Porky's, Revenge of the Nerds, which are super, super problematic.
I've never seen either
it's
of them.
Way oh, they're better than... wretched. So it's less problematic than those, but there are still some like 1980s problematic things that happen. I just have a quick list of them. Like there's an opening shot of like the kids in high school, and one of the kids puts like a little sign on the back of another student that says like, I am a homo. You know, that doesn't get commented on or anything like that. There's another moment where Spicoli is having his like dream sequence about being a surf champ and he uses a homophobic slur. There's also some just kind of like other male gaze shots where there's that upcoming football game at the rival school and we like some of the girls are wearing shirts that say like kill Lincoln on it to promote school spirit, right. But like these are like
that's
very like headless women of Hollywood, like male gaze shots of like their chest and their butts. And then
I forgot about kill Lincoln.
Assassinate Lincoln is one of the signs. I mean that's like that's a good joke. I would say that's one of the
big
best
high school rivalry energy.
Also I do think it's always funny in 80s movies where I feel like that was before the cheerleader is a popular thing got popular. And so every time in 80s movies when there's like cheerleaders, they're fucking nerds.
Oh really?
Because the school spirit like was not cool to have. It was cool to not care.
Yeah.
So the cheerleaders weren't like the popular girl trope, which they have there, and those girls are just like the spirit squad.
They
and
care
just, like,
too much.
It takes a lot of vulnerability to get up here and do something that you know you're going to be made fun of for.
So funny. Yeah.
Here's another thing that was like, what is this like an 80s thing or what? But Mr. Hand passes out like his syllabus to the class and then everyone lifts up their paper and sniffs it.
I don't know what that was.
What was that?
I don't know what that was. I literally thought his name was Mr. Ham, so I can't speak to it.
It smells like ham.
I have no idea
about that one. Mm-hmm.
Talking about the school spirit thing though, I wanted to talk about Charles Jefferson, that is the Forrest Whitaker character.
Yes.
He and his brother are the only two characters who are people of color who have really any significant screen time at all. And
that
even then,
true.
It's quite low.
Yeah, he's barely in it.
Barely in it. And really all we know about Charles is that an alumni gave him a nice car for playing football, and he's very protective of this car. We know that he wants to take his brother to the Earth, Wind, and Fire concert. But aside from that, we don't know anything about his personal life. He's not given any sort of characterization, really. Everything that we know about him comes from someone else's perspective. And then in most scenes you see him in, he's framed as being this, like, very aggro, intimidating person. So it just to characterize, like, the only characters of color in this way was a very just, like, regressive 80s approach.
And again, it seems like this is like someone that Cameron Crowe like observed in and then just proceeded to not write anything for the character, which is like there's kind of like not really much of an excuse to not do that when he is not writing it from life anymore. He's like basing it on experiences and then adding fiction. So it's like, yeah, then like let us know more than one thing about that character and don't like ground it in these like broad stereotypes.
Yeah. For sure.
Cameron Crowe. I mean, we all know. And then he makes Aloha. So
right.
He's not really good with this. Yeah. But it was a delight to see a young Forest Whitaker. Forest Whitaker is one of those actors. I'm like, he was born at 45.
Yeah.
Like, it's so wild to see him.
I think one of the best scenes in the movie is when Sean Penn and the brother are driving his car.
That is a fun scene.
I do think that's one of the most like comedy scenes in the movie.
Yeah.
Because, I mean, it's good. Like, the way he keeps narrowly avoiding, like, getting in a crash. And then it's just like...
There, I mean, Sean Penn is making some choices.
He's so blonde. I just kept noticing how blonde he was.
Bizarre. And have we ever covered a movie that Sean Penn is in before?
Honestly, we might not have.
I would feel weird not mentioning that he has
a horrible track record for everything.
He's hit a lot of ladies.
Yes.
He is not a good person.
Yes, no.
Bad right? man.
And like during this time specifically too is like I think around the time that he's dating Madonna and there's just...
How old was he in this?
He was in his early 20s, which is weird because
Was he dating Madonna?
He was dating her in the 80s.
Oh, okay.
So this might have been slightly before, but it was like there's a lot of stuff. But there were times where certain people wouldn't report him physically abusing them because he was already... almost in jail for hitting other people. And just like there was this whole like culture of we have to protect Sean Penn when it's like, no, we don't.
It does feel strange watching him play a character that's like very chill.
Yeah
it's you're like very full
because he's decidedly not chill. Also, I read that he's famously going method for this role and he refuses to go out of character at any point on set. He makes people call him Spicoli.
But as far as method characters go,
I mean,
this is the
better.
One I would prefer to be around.
Yeah, maybe he should have just stayed there.
Whereas like when people just go method for like fucking sociopaths and it's like, no, you can't do this, then you're just being a sociopath.
Right.
This one it's like just
yeah, it's like at least he's being like chilled
he's
out.
High, I guess.
Yeah. We've said it before. We've said it again. Women rarely go method because they would be fired.
Right.
I know. I'm like most. I feel like when I think Sean Penn, I think like fucking Mystic River. Like into like where's my daughter? Like that's a. I'm just
this
like
this is not a classic like. Yeah, of course, Sean Penn.
It's an outlier.
It feels
strange
what he's like
that's
his
very
character.
Weird.
Yeah.
Anyways, he's a bad man.
Mm-hmm. Yes, indeed. Does anyone have any other thoughts?
Aside from him being a bad man, I do kind of like how it wraps up with him and Mr. Hand at the end.
What a goofy scene.
Yeah, because they've been like adversaries the whole time.
Yeah.
And then it's so weird, but it's like...
He comes to his house.
He comes to his house
prom night.
Yeah.
And doesn't let him leave for prom because he wants to tutor him.
And then he tutors him, and then Spicoli's just like, okay, yeah, the war happened. Blah, 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 blah. Okay, I'm going to the dance
now. It's so weird.
It's so weird, but I feel like everyone gets kind of a nice little wrap up.
Sure.
It is nice, yeah. I like that. I mean, like, we know that Linda goes to college. There's kind of like a slight joke at her expense made about like she and then she started like hooking up with her professor, which again that like sort of like contradicted what I had in my head of like she was not telling the truth about having sex, and I'm like, oh, maybe she did.
I kind of don't think she's a virgin. I think she has had sex. It has consistently been with like, you know, this thing where it's like guys who just don't really care about her are older and are using
deal.
Yeah, like this guy probably said something offhand and she's like, he's my fiance in Chicago and he's not, he has no intention of, you know.
Yeah.
And so the I feel like the professor would follow in that.
Oh, sure.
Yeah, like I don't think her anything she was doing was like a full fabrication. It was just like based in something much smaller.
Yeah,
you know.
Sure. Blowing it all out of proportion kind of thing.
Sure.
Which is like all any character in this movie does.
Which is all teenagers too, I guess.
Teen experience.
Yeah.
I do like that the Judge Reinhold character, Brad, is like gearing up to break up with his girlfriend.
Oh, yeah,
and he's like, it's because I want my freedom and da-da-da. And then she breaks up with him first and uses the exact same reason for it. She's like, I'm a, you know.
Right. And I like that it's like as soon as he gets fired, he doesn't want to break up with her anymore because now he's like low.
He needs to have something.
He's, and he's like, I'm so glad I have you. And she's like, I actually have something to tell you.
I don't know what ended up happening with her.
I know. Yeah. Why don't we find out what happened to Lisa?
And she like literally, she just like tells him she doesn't want to have sex with him when he's declaring himself king of the world for having a burger flipping job. Like, it's all very satisfying.
Yeah.
What happened to Lisa?
Spin off.
Cameron?
Justice for Lisa.
Cameron?
I think that's all I really had.
Yeah. This movie, I don't know. I was like pleasantly surprised by it. It's better than most 80s teen comedies we've covered on this show, which is saying something.
True. I mean, Back to the Future, I still stand for, and yet we did give it zero nipples on the bonus episode we did of it. Yeah, I think it's just a very, like, of the time, but also in some respects pretty progressive for the time, especially like the way it handles abortion. I mean, the fact that it even features an abortion at all, I mean,
in a non-judgmental way, like
even still, we can count on one hand the number of like mainstream movies that even mention abortion, let alone like have it and treat
this
it in a way
better than Obvious Child, which I do think is true because she ends up dating the guy that she got an abortion from.
So I think that, the fact that we even get that at all is very progressive for its time. But then there's just the whole, like, there being a statutory rape and it not being framed that way by the movie. Yep. And, like, the teen nudity that I don't think is necessary at all. So it's kind of, it's a little bit all over the place. But I was pleasantly surprised that it's, you know, not as bad as some of its contemporaries in terms of like toxic 80s mentality.
Yeah.
So
it doesn't pass the Bechdel test. We don't think. There's maybe some two line exchanges.
It almost like there's one where they're in the cafeteria and they're like, there's four girls who are dressed exactly like Pat Benatar this year.
Almost is,
but then it turns into her being like, do you think the guys think they're hot?
Right away. Mm-hmm. Yeah.
But that is almost.
It's
like,
close.
Did there you see that girl? She looks just like Pat Benatar. And she's like, yeah, there's four.
I tried to pay attention to like if the guys had any, because I was like, I feel like
I noticed this too. They don't have very many conversations that aren't about girls.
Yeah, but they do. There are a couple. Yeah. Like, I feel like because I was like, okay, the reason why this movie, I think, doesn't pass the Bechdel test is because it is about sex.
It's like about sex.
Hetero. So it just, that's what it ends up being. So I was like, I wonder if the boys talk about anything else. And they like kind of do. I think
Sean
if
Penn
we flipped
and
it.
And the brother of Forest Whitaker's character like talk about the car.
Yeah.
And
about history.
Like right. You know, boy stuff.
Yeah.
Well, even like
cars and history.
The title cards at the end that like here's what everyone's up to. The girls information that we're given is mostly about their relationships with boys versus the boys that we get information about, the boys or the men. It's like all about their jobs.
Right, which is that same thing from the Royal Tenenbaums.
I thought that too.
Only introduce the Margo. Women in relation
Linda
to men.
Linda is the only one going to college, though.
That's true. They do. I'm
She's
like,
the only one who made it to college.
She gets a sentence. But yeah, it does not pass the Bechdel test. We're pretty sure.
Right.
It might pass a little bit.
But yeah, I don't think so. Yeah. I mean, just because it's like almost, and then those exchanges kind of turn into.
Yeah, the context of almost every conversation is about like boys. One of my least.
Or there's even, you know, like one line like Stacey being like, I cannot do another summer.
Oh, yeah. Stacey says, she says something like, I can't keep working here or else I'm going to get so fat that no one will want to take me out. And it's like,
I was even thinking near the end where she's just like, I can't spend another summer at Perry's.
Yeah. Like but I think there's maybe a few small, like, two line exchanges by our very low bar would pass, but the context of almost every scene, conversation, storyline is like hetero romance and sex.
Yeah. So, checking in with what's going on.
Yeah. So there you have it. Let's rate the movie on our nipple scale 0 to 5 nipples based on its representation of women. This one, oh God, it's a really such a mixed bag for me because, like, on one hand, like, I really like how the abortion thing is handled, but I would give this like a 2, I think.
Yeah.
Because it's still, you know, harboring a lot of like 1980s stuff. I mean, that's the thing. It's like when you talk about a movie that's about like romance and sex, yes, a lot of it's going to be about like what the female characters, what we know about them is what boys they like, how much they like them. It's, you know, it's very geared toward like their interest in boys just by the nature of that kind of storytelling. But I don't know, they still could have been characterized a bit more. We could still like know what their favorite subjects in school are, maybe what they want to do when they graduate.
What are their fantasies? Right. We don't get to see any.
We only
like,
get to see boys' fantasies.
Yeah.
Yes. And then just the encouragement of like, yes, you're 15 years old, but you should have sex with this 26-year-old guy. Hate it. So yeah, I'll stick with a 2. I'll give one nipple to Stacy and one to Stacy's mom. She's got it going on.
Wow.
We do see she tucks
hot reference, Kaylin.
She tucks Time her late. Into bed
oh,
right before her
her
I date.
You do see you hear a parent. You see their hands.
You see her face.
You see her face?
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
Wow.
Yeah, yeah. And she's like, good night, Mom. And then she sneaks out the window.
Is at an all-time high.
Yes.
I guess I'm going to go, I'm going to probably be too hard, but like for listener context, because I just gave Little Women a 3.5, I feel like I cannot give this a 2.
Oh, yeah.
So I'm going to give it a 1.5. It does a lot of things that I wasn't expecting it to do at all, do really well. Like I can't think of a more like straightforward, effective, non-judgmental abortion plotline in another teen movie
mm-hmm.
off the top of my head at all. Like I thought that was like great. And then, yeah, just I mean, kind of echoing what you said of stuff that and just like basic writing stuff of just like there were very easy stuff that wouldn't even change the story ways of just like fleshing out the female characters mm-hmm. a little bit more that either Cameron Crowe was not able to do or like whatever. I mean, it doesn't seem like he has a very coherent understanding of women based on his work.
Right.
So in this instance, he simply did not try.
Same thing with like people of color, just like no exactly. attempt to characterize them at all.
Which is like,
or include them hardly at all.
Which is like the Sofia Coppola school of writing non-white characters, which mm-hmm. is just, I don't know, so I won't.
So I won't.
You're just like, that can't be it. but yeah, I don't know. I mean, I think like Amy Heckerling, this being like her directorial debut is like awesome.
Mm-hmm.
And I like all the performances are great. I like that you sort of see humiliating side to male sexuality in like teens. I like the way that Rat's like masculinity is written and shown. And I just, it's nice to see like teenagers that sort of sound like teenagers and are making the mistakes that teenagers would make in a lot of cases.
The more I think about it, the more that like American Pie rips off so much from this movie. The Jason Biggs Ooh. Character is basically Rat.
Oh, but horrible.
But yeah. That movie, I think, is far worse
it's
and far
chaos.
More toxic.
Yeah.
Anyway.
But yeah, I'll do 1.5. I like genuinely enjoyed most of this movie.
Yeah.
Yeah. And then I'm gonna give my nippies to Phoebe Cates mm. because she's one of my favorite musicians' mom.
Oh,
Frankie
wait,
Cosmos.
Oh,
Is the child of Kevin Kline and Phoebe Cates.
Hmm. I didn't know that she and Kevin Kline.
They've been married for 30 years,
up?
Baby. 30 wow. years strong.
You learned something
a
new.
Success story.
Great. How about y'all?
Okay. I mean, I guess I'm going to go a little high. I want to give it 3.
Mm-hmm.
I'm taking context into account a little bit.
Sure. Mm-hmm.
Thinking like between this movie, because it's 81, and like Booksmart, 40 years.
Mm-hmm.
That is 40 years
yeah.
different.
Yeah, absolutely.
And that this one, it has like, the protagonist in this teen sex comedy is a girl
mm-hmm.
who is like figuring out sex and stuff. And it, I feel like it treats her as like valid and mm-hmm. like, as opposed to just, I feel like it kind of does like subvert a lot of those 80s tropes, whereas the protagonist would in another movie would have been Rat.
Sure,
or
for sure.
Would have been Brad or like something like that.
Mm-hmm.
And I kind of think like at the time, like if you were a teenager in 81, this movie would have been
monumental.
Seeing this movie compared to most of those movies at the time, if you were like a teenage girl in 1981, I think that would have been huge.
Any like dignified representation probably would have been huge.
And I think like a lot of the, I don't know, a lot of the negative stuff in it, it doesn't deal with it enough, but it's not untrue. Like, just because it sucks and it is an unpleasant fact of, like, life doesn't mean it doesn't actually happen.
Mm-hmm.
It happens all the time. So I kind of like that it, like, presents that and in a way that isn't, like, earth-shattering.
Sure.
You know? Mm-hmm. And then I'll give one to Rat because he's a nice boy. I'll give one to the cardigans in this movie.
Yeah.
They're really good cardigans. And one to Phoebe Kate's hair because it's doing great work.
It's really, yeah.
It's quite a
How mop. Many aerosol cans went into...
Okay. You know, it's interesting when we talk about, like, okay, representation of women versus teen girls. You know what I mean?
Sure.
And so it's like, obviously, teen girls are complex human beings, but it's different. You know what I mean? So it's like a lot of the moments where I feel like we're maybe missing some greater, like, emotional arc or something. I think it's maybe not a great excuse just being like, oh, well, they're just teens, so they didn't really think about it. I think we've seen a lot of things about teens where we get much deeper than that.
Mm-hmm.
But I think two seems fair. I also enjoyed watching this movie. I think it has a lot of very fun characters.
Mm-hmm.
And that's always my favorite thing in like 80s, like teen, like any kind of like high school movie is really good characters. Like, I mean, obviously we have our issues with Spicoli, but he's a very fun character.
He is.
The issue, not with Spicoli.
It's not Spicoli.
Spicoli as an entity is fine, but unfortunately his casting. Okay, I will give a nipple to, I feel like nobody has given one to Brad.
True. Oh, give Brad a nipple.
What a nice guy.
Yeah, Brad's
he's
good
struggling.
Overall. He really is.
He's sweet to his younger sister. I feel like a lot of the time you see siblings in high school together and the older one is like, don't talk to me.
Yeah.
True. Mm-hmm.
And
he's
like,
a hard worker.
Yeah.
It's like he said at the beginning. He's successful.
I'm a successful guy.
Uh-huh. I also like that, well, I guess he was going to break up with his girlfriend and give her freedom to explore, but then I guess he actually wasn't going to. So never mind on that. And then I would give the other one to Linda because I just like that character.
I like Linda a lot.
I think she's just such another fantastic, like, that is such a true, like, high school girl. The girl who feels like she has to act more mature than she is.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
And then spray paints the guy's car.
So good. Yeah, I really like how immediately she was just like, he's not a human, he's a little prick.
Yeah, oh God, when he just covers it with
cardboard.
Like, what are people going to think?
Oh, fun. Well, thank you.
Yeah, thank you
so much
for being
here.
Thanks for having us.
Where can people follow you individually and then as a podcast? Tell us everything.
Okay. I am at MLE, like the letters, Faye, FAYE, on Twitter and Instagram.
I am at Paige Weldon. On Instagram and Twitter.
Yay.
And you can follow our podcast, too. It's called Mall Talk. It's on the Forever Dog Network.
It's about the mall, if you can imagine.
Talk about the mall.
We talk about it every week. We love
single
the mall.
Damn week.
So, you know, if that seems fun.
At Mall Talk Pod.
Yeah. Mall Talk on iTunes and everywhere.
Yay. Yep.
You know what to do. You found this podcast, so.
You know how to find a podcast.
Yeah, yeah, you're cool.
We're all adults here.
But if you don't, you can find us at...
Oh, perfect transition.
Yeah. Thank you so much. On Twitter, Instagram, I hardly ever use Facebook, so don't message us there.
Yeah, we will not get back to you.
But we're at Bechdelcast. You can join our Patreon, aka Matreon. It's $5 a month, 2 bonus episodes, plus our entire back catalog.
It's and like that's over 50 episodes?
So many, yeah. And it's at... patreon.com/Bechdelcast.
You can get our merch at tpublic.com/TheBechdelcast. And yeah, thank you for listening. Is there like a line from this movie that people quote?
Happy Pride from Tomboy X, celebrating pride and the queer community all year. Queer founded, queer run, and the makers of the original boxer briefs for women, creating sustainable size and gender inclusive underwear, swimwear, and loungewear for all bodies so you feel comfortable in your own skin. Tomboy X just dropped their Pride 24 collection, obsessively fit tested for all day comfort in sizes 3 extra small through 6X. Visit tomboyx.com.
Bean Dad, The Dress, 30 to 50 Feral Hogs. If you knew what any of those were, you spend too much time online. And hey, I do too. 16th Minute of Fame is a new weekly podcast hosted by me, Jamie Loftus. And every week, we take a closer look at an internet character of the day. Who are they? What made them so notorious? How did the internet or the algorithm choose them? And what does a person do when they're suddenly confronted with more attention than the human psyche can handle? Listen to 16th Minute of Fame on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.
A new season of Bridgerton is here. And with it, a new season of Bridgerton, the official podcast. I'm your host, Gabby Collins. And this season, we are bringing fans even deeper into the ton. Watch season 3 of the Shondaland series on Netflix. Then fall in love all over again by listening to Bridgerton, the official podcast on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts. Subscribe to catch a new episode every Thursday.